God's will is not a closed system. It's dynamic. God's will is not always an issue of choosing A or B. In fact, many times God's will may be A to Z, and any of them will be okay. It's your choice. God's will is not a matter of everything's in black or white, either A or B. God's will is much greater than that, dear one. God, listen, He solved a lot of your problems when He gave you a brain. Why would He give you a brain and not expect you to use it?
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Well, hi there, my friend. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I thank you for listening to Your Place of Grace. Today, we're talking about this. How can I know the will of God? How can I know God's will? You know, we're looking at some things in the next few weeks that on what the Bible has to say about some of the hardest issues in life. And like, why do bad things happen to good people? Why? And what is the whole point of life? How can I know God's will? And how can I know what God wants to do with my life? Well, you know, life is a series of choices and decisions. Our success is largely determined by our decisions. You make good decisions, you're going to make it. If you make dumb ones, you're not. It's pretty simple. Because you're a human being, the possibility for failure in your decisions is quite high. We've all made a lot of really dumb decisions. I sure have. And some of you today are probably facing some major decisions in your life. Questions about your career, your marriage, future, maybe your health, or you don't know what to do. These are real issues. And even after we make decisions, even with our prayer and asking God for help, a lot of times we second guess ourselves and torture ourselves after we've made the decision with, oh, did I do the right thing? The Bible says that God wants you to know His will. The word's very clear about that. He's not playing games with you. He's not playing cat and mouse, hide and seek, or guess behind what's behind door number three or that kind of thing. God wants you to know His will. The Bible says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So God wants you to understand His will. He wants you to understand His plan for your life. Life is a journey. And because of that journey, God has given us three things. First, He's given us a roadmap, and that's called the Bible. Then He's given us a compass, which is our conscience, which kind of guides us along. And then He's given us a personal guide, who is the Holy Spirit. He will actually guide you. So what's the problem? Well, you say, I want God to guide me, but I still get confused. I don't know what to do. Often the problem is we're looking for the wrong thing. I want us to look at two questions. What is God's will? And how do I find it? How do I know it? How do I get in on it? So what is God's will? First of all, what is it not? God's will is not a feeling. This is the mystical approach to God's will, and it appeals to all you right brain people. You're out there looking for a feeling, looking for a sensation, looking for an ocean of emotion, a quiver in your liver. The problem, of course, is that feelings are highly, highly unreliable. If you always just do what you feel like in life, you're going to be a failure. Feelings will guide you in the wrong way. Feelings can come from fatigue, from your hormones, from an event you've just experienced, something you read, something you saw, something you listened to, maybe a movie, all kinds of stuff like that. Feelings are very unreliable. How many of you have ever made a decision based on feeling and you discovered it was dead, flat out wrong? I mean, we're all experts at knowing that feelings lie. You say, Tony, but it feels so right. But that doesn't mean it is right. Feelings lie. The Bible says so. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things." That means my heart even plays tricks on me. You know, I've stopped trying to figure out other people's motives because I couldn't figure out my own half the time. The heart is deceitful. It plays tricks on you. Let me remind you, the devil can create feelings. If you don't wait for a feeling when you're trying to figure out God's plan for your life, you just don't do that. Also, it's not a formula. Now, this is the mechanical approach to God's will. And this appeals to all you left brain people. You're so logical, rational. You've got it all figured out. You want to look for a formula. You want a recipe. You want a step-by-step procedure, a ritual. But the truth is, most books written on how to know God's will are this second kind of formula approach. Do this, do that. Presto, and you've got a decision. Follow these 27 steps and you're guaranteed results. But it doesn't work that way, dear one. We think it works that way because we've been conditioned by TV. Television's conditioned us that every problem can be solved in 30 minutes with three commercials. So we want instant results. We want everything to be easy. We want it to be a simple formula so that it will instantly change my life. I'm telling you, all the best sellers on Amazon are these 10 easy steps type books. Cooking for Dummies, An Idiot's Guide to Building a Nuclear Reactor, Embalming Made Easy. We want these simple step-by-step things for the most difficult parts of life. Listen, as a man of God, as a pastor, as an evangelist, let me say this. God's will is not a closed system. It's dynamic. God's will is not always an issue of choosing A or B. In fact, many times God's will may be A to Z, and any of them will be okay. It's your choice. God's will is not a matter of everything's in black or white, either A or B. God's will is much greater than that, dear one. And most Christians do not realize there is far more freedom in God's will than you realize. He solved a lot of your problems when he gave you a brain. Why would he give you a brain and not expect you to use it? So God's will is not a feeling, and God's will is not a formula. So, Tony, what is God's will? Well, it is a relationship. It's not rules, it's relationship. It's not a life map. No. It's a lifestyle. It's not an agenda of 52 things to do. It's an attitude of life. God says, I want you to develop a relationship with me. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God has invited you into this wonderful friendship with his Son, Jesus Christ. God wants to be, yes, your friend. Oh, that's so mind-blowing. It's amazing. God says, I want you to have a relationship with me through my son, Jesus. There's very little in the Bible about the technique of knowing God's will. Very little. but there are thousands and thousands of verses that talk about developing a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's the issue. God's will is a relationship. When you've got that down, dear one, the closer you get to Christ, the more intimate, the better you get to know him, the less problem you're going to have with this issue. When I first got married long ago, I needed lots of guidance as a husband. And fortunately, my wife was very eager to give that guidance. You need to do this, you need to do that. She was very upfront about giving me guidance as a new husband. She still does today. God bless her. Many, many years later, I have to say this. I know my wife. I know her very well. She could be sitting here, and I know what she'd be thinking of before she said it. I can read her like a book, and I can see things that are going to happen, and I know exactly how she's going to react to certain situations because I know my wife. I know her intimately. Because of that, she doesn't have to give me all these rules and regulations and guidance because I already know after all these years. Sometimes I just watch her eyes and I know exactly what she's thinking. And she does the same with me. That's part of building an intimate relationship. How do I know God's will? What is God's will? It's relationship. The key is focus on God, not guidance. The better you get to know the Father, the less confusion you're going to have about what His will is. Get to know God, and everything else becomes secondary. So how do I know God's will? Let me give you some quick principles from God's Word. If I want to know God's will, I first admit that I need guidance. Sometimes this is tough because we don't like to admit it when we're confused. Men especially don't like to do this. It's not in our nature to stop and ask directions. It's not my nature to stop and say, hey, I'm lost. That's why when it comes to knowing God's will, it takes some real courage to admit it. But the first step, if you want to know God's will, is to admit your confusion. Psalm 25:9 tells us, He guides the humble. Circle that word humble in your Bible. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them His way. See, if you're arrogant, if you're conceited, if you're a know-it-all and you think you've got it all figured out, then God's going to say, be my guest. Hey, go for it. First, you might want to stop and admit that you need guidance, okay? Secondly, ask. Ask in faith for directions. James says this, you have not because you ask not. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. So ask, seek, knock. The first letters are A-S-K, ask. James 1, verses 5 and 6. If you want to know what God really wants you to do, ask Him, and He'll gladly tell you. He's always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask Him, but be sure that you really expect Him to tell you. If you don't ask in faith, don't expect the Lord to give you any solid answer. Wow. Notice that in this verse, there are two keys to knowing God's wisdom. First, you got to ask the right person. You ask God. You don't ask your manicurist, your bartender, or some other reliable authority like a talk show radio host or whatever. You ask the right person, that being God. Then you ask with the right attitude, expecting God to answer. Have you ever asked God to lead you, but you really didn't expect Him to do so? Oh, sure you have. That's why you never got anything from it. You must ask deep and expect an answer. God honors faith, dear one. Faith pleases God. And then God promises wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is simply the ability to make decisions the way God would. Admit that I need guidance, ask in faith for direction, praise God, and then, hey, listen for God's response. This is where a lot of us get off track. The honest truth is we're too busy to listen for God's response. We don't have the time, and we live in a noisy world. We have to take the time to tune in and to listen because God is speaking. Job 33:14 says, God does speak, sometimes one way, sometimes another, even though people may not understand it. The question is, how do I understand it? How do I tune in so that I can hear God's voice? In this little studio where I am right now, and in the room where you are, or maybe in your vehicle, wherever you are, there are radio waves filling your vehicle, your room, your house, your workplace, your hotel room, wherever you are now. Radio waves, television waves are filling the room. You and I can't hear them or see them because we're not a radio or a television. It takes a radio or television to do that. God has designed you and me to be able to tune in and to hear his voice. Anything else in all creation cannot tune into God's voice like you and I can and hear what he has to say. Yes, we were designed to hear messages from God. So how do you tune in? How do you tune in? What are the channels that God uses? There are lots of them, but let me remind you of four of them. Just quickly. First of all, the primary way God speaks to us is through the Bible, through his word. He uses the Bible to speak to us. You carry this with you through life, so it shows you the next step to take, the right step to take. That's why you need to read the word of God every day. Give it some undivided attention for 10, 15 minutes, maybe half an hour, or as long as you want. Each and every day. If you're not having a daily devotional time of reading the Bible, it's like you're taking the telephone connection with God and disconnecting it, unplugging it, and there's just dead air all the time. This is very true in many of our lives. We do have this dead air going in our heads and in our spirits. We have to keep the constant connection with God, because God's will is found in God's word. God's word is God's will. It is 100% reliable. So take 10 minutes, take half an hour, take as long as it takes every day. Read through the Bible systematically. I suggest you read a little bit and go through one book at a time, books of the New Testament first. Another way that God speaks to us, a second way, is through teachers, godly teachers, people who are teaching what this Bible says. Have you ever been in a crowd and you felt like the teacher was teaching that God was speaking directly to you? A lot of us have felt that way. And the fact is, at that moment, he was speaking to you. I can't tell you how often I or other pastors have spoken to people, and folks will come up to us and say, Have you been reading my mail? How did you know that? Or somebody will say to me, Did my wife call you before this service and tell you what to say? No. What's happening there? There's no way in the world we could figure out exactly what to say to meet every need. But God knows. That's one of the reasons why I don't like to miss church. I don't know the week that God is going to use some phrase, something that's said that will touch my heart in a way that will absolutely change my life. That's the power of teaching and preaching. A third way God speaks to our lives is through impressions, ideas, hunches, insights. God can speak in that way. It does always have to match what he says in his word. There are two extremes to this. One extreme, there is the rationalist. who believes no impression can be found from God. It all has to be logical. On the other extreme, there is the mystical belief that every impression is from God. God told me to go to Taco Bell and not McDonald's. He must want me there for a reason. No, that's silly. You have to get in the middle of that and realize that every impression has to match God's word. You see, the Holy Spirit who speaks to our hearts will never contradict the Bible. Never. Let me give you a suggestion for this, for those of you who are facing a decision right now. Tonight, before you go to sleep, the last thought in your mind, think, God, what's the next step? What do you want me to do? What's your answer on this one? Then go to sleep and leave it in His hands. Oftentimes in the morning, you'll wake up and the answer will be there in your mind, the impression He wants to give. Praise God. There's a fourth way that God speaks to us. It's the most common way that He speaks, one that we're all familiar with. He speaks to us through our circumstances, and especially through circumstances that create pain in our lives. Yes, even then, God is speaking. He leads us on the right path if we'll just listen. But if we can't listen to the difficulties in life, if we don't tune in, we are bound to get off track in our lives. Sometimes He's going to lead you in ways that you don't understand. But let me come to the fourth step in this lesson. Trust God even when you don't understand. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, all of them, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." If you do the trusting, He does the leading, okay? When you don't understand when God's telling you to do something, this is a test, dear one. It's an obedience check. And if you're going to grow spiritually, God is going to take you through obedience checks over and over in life. He'll ask you to do something that humanly does not seem to make sense. It's a test. He's testing you to see if you'll trust Him, to see if you'll obey Him. You may be what you think is a dead end. Oh, we're never going to get out of debt. I'm never going to get out of this problem. Things are never going to work out. My dream's never going to come true. We're never going to have that baby, etc. So on and so forth. You think you're at a dead end. You think, this is a dead end. How's it ever going to work out? It's impossible. Right now, it may look dark, and it may look depressing, and you may feel defeated, and it may seem like a mystery to you, but if you will trust in God, at that point, as you trust Him, and as you move ahead in faith, as you keep growing, God will make a pathway through the middle of the ocean, and the waves will part. But you say, oh, it doesn't make sense. Not everything in the world makes sense, dear one. You're going to be frustrated if you try to figure everything out. And you're tempted to despair. One day you're going to see in the light of eternity how it all fits together in God's timing and God's plan. One day. But until that time, what do you do when God tells you to do something that doesn't make sense? You do it anyway and relax. Because when you relax, you're saying, God, I trust You. I don't understand any of this, but I trust You, Lord. Let me give you just a couple of things to avoid, three errors to avoid. First, don't be fatalistic. That's the attitude of, well, whatever happens is God's will. Have you ever had some major problem happen and people say, it must have been God's will? When I say that, do you think good things or bad things? Bad. as if God's will were all the bad things in life. If anything happens to me bad, it must have been God's will. If anything happens to me good, I got lucky. You've seen an insurance policy, and what they list as acts of God: hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, natural disasters. Loved one, real acts of God are a baby being born, a marriage staying together for 20, 30, 40, 50 years in a world where everybody's saying, divorce! See, that's an act of God. Don't be fatalistic. Whatever happens is God's will. You do realize that God's will is not always done. Not everything that happens in the world is God's will. When little children are molested and harmed, that's never God's will. When people are killed in wars, that's not God's will. God is not the author of evil, dear one. But God set up the world in which we have freedom to choose. And sometimes as human beings, we choose evil. And sometimes when people choose evil, innocent people get hurt. That's why we're to pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So don't be fatalistic or blame things on God. Don't do that. And don't be frustrated. If you try to figure everything out in life, you're going to get frustrated. Sometimes you're going to do what you think is God's will, and it's going to fail. And you're going to fall flat on your face. "I thought God was leading me to start this business," and it fails. What do you do when there are no answers? You keep on trusting God, knowing that He's working on your character through all of this. And He has good plans for you. And don't be fearful. Don't get nervous. Don't get worried. Don't get defensive. Don't run from the issue. Have you ever been afraid to pray, "Thy will be done"? You don't want to pray that? "Well, if I pray that, I might end up a missionary in some far-flung country. Or I might have to wear a hair bun, or or wear white shirts and skinny black ties and carry a 2-ton Bible all the time and go door to door and say, 'Praise the Lord.' And what might happen if I do say, 'Thy will be done'?" The closer you get to Christ, dear one, the more natural you become, not the more kooky, okay? What is behind this fear of God's will? Sometimes it's fear of change. What if I pray and just things change, they get turned upside down? Sometimes it's the fear of commitment. Sometimes it's the fear of criticism. What if I say, "Thy will be done," and then somebody calls me a nut, a fanatic? The root problem behind all this is that you're doubting God's love. And the Bible says there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. So never criticize an unfinished plan. Never judge the path God leads me on till I get to the end of it. Have patience, dear one. One day you'll realize that God knows what He's doing. He knows what's best for you. You can't see what He does, but He can see the end result. God's path may be a path of pain. All those delays and difficulties and problems are building character in your life. Psalm 37 says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord. When he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand." Praise God. The Bible says that your path was custom made by God for you. Trust Him. Trust God when you don't understand. The last thing I want to say in this podcast today is this: act on what I already know to do. The truth is, you already know a lot of things God wants you to do. You already know a lot of what God wants you to do with your life. So why haven't you done it? God is not obligated to give you step two until you've already done step one. Some of you keep saying, I want to know God's will for my career or my marriage. And God says, let's get back to the basics. Are you reading your Bible? Are you tithing? Are you praying to me? You know, basic things. And you say, but I want to know about God is not obligated for step two until you start doing what you already know to be the revealed will of God for your life. We always make excuses. I'm intending to do those things. I'm going to get around to it one of these days. But James tells us anyone who knows the right thing to do but doesn't do it is sinning. If I know the right thing to do and I'm not doing it, I'm sinning, dear one. The Bible says, don't boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day may bring forth. Don't say you're going to do something tomorrow or next week. No, here's my question to you. What do you already know to do, but you haven't done it yet? What's your next step? You can't think of anything? Let me give you just a few. Maybe you've thought about, being baptized. Doing what Jesus did when he was 30 years old, his public commitment to his expression of faith. You may have even thought about being baptized in water. So, what are you waiting for? But it could be anything. Joining a home group, a cell group in your church. Joining a Sunday school class if they have them. Getting involved in a ministry within your church or community. Maybe you need to reconcile with a family member. What do you need to do that you've been putting off, dear one? It could be anything. God says, do it. Don't delay. Do what you already know to do. Let's pray, okay? Praise God. Thank you for listening today. Let's pray. Jesus Christ wants to guide you through life. He knows where he wants to take you. He knows how to get you there safely. He'll never leave your side, dear one. He holds your hand. So much of your stress is so unnecessary because all you have to do is follow him. My question to you today is, whose path are you going to follow through life? Your path or the one God planned? Maybe you've wandered off the path, or maybe you never got on it. Maybe you've been wandering around confused, saying, why am I here? What's my purpose? I'll tell you why you're here. Because God loves you, and he has a great plan for your life, and he wants you to know his will. So today, here's the question I want to ask. Ask this to God in your mind. Father, what's my next step? Please tell me. Just ask that simple question. If it's to give your life to Jesus Christ and you've never done that, you can do it right now. You've been thinking about it, but you've never done it. Step across that line today, right now. If you've been thinking about becoming part of a church family, maybe you've thought for weeks about it, or months, maybe years, go to church. Be part of the family. Get plugged in. If you've never made your public expression of your faith, say, you know, I need to be baptized in water. I want to be baptized. Or, I want to get involved in ministry. Whatever your commitment is, what's your next step? Would you commit to saying, Father, I want to do what I already know to do is right? Then pray this prayer with me. Lord, I need your guidance in my life. I admit I need it. I ask you today in faith that you will direct me. Help me, please, to listen for your response, not to get so busy that I can't hear you, but to tune into you and your Holy Spirit like my radio tunes into radio waves. Father, when I don't understand it, help me to understand you, to trust you, realizing that you often have a pathway through the middle of an ocean that nobody else knows about. Help me to not be fatalistic. Help me to not get frustrated. Help me to not be fearful, but to act on what I already know. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you for listening today, dear one. I really, really appreciate you listening to this podcast. I really do. And I pray for you throughout the week. And I know that you like, I know that you appreciate our podcast as well. It's free to you, completely free of charge. It's free to anyone and everyone worldwide. But it's not free for me to put it out. For example, we need to update our equipment, our audio equipment. And quite frankly, we do need help in doing so. So I do covet your prayers, but I also do ask you to prayerfully consider going to our website, yourplaceofgrace.com, and clicking on the donate button and prayerfully sow your best seed into Your Place of Grace Ministries. It will help us to, as I said, update our audio equipment, and it will help us in our trips to other towns and other cities to preach the Word of God in churches across America. I thank you ahead of time for doing so. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and always have a smiling countenance toward you. And may He give you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory, laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, and home. And may He grant you great favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your long, long life. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.